As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful. Faithful and true.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. Is faithful and true.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. That is the truth right there. My Redeemer is faithful and true. If you will, church, choir, take a hymnal. Turn over to page number 393. Let's everyone stand tonight and sing together, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing now. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see choir, you can be seated. Amen. What a great, great service this morning. Amen. Wow, what a time we had. What a great message. Some great singing, and we look forward to having Second coming back with us this evening. And there you are, have been with us all through the day, and we had a great lunch. Thankful to our Sunday school class and some others that helped. We had a good lunch. We just had the group down and pastor down, Brother Snyder. And we just wanted to try and make things as easy as we could for them. And so it's just been a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we look forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. We're going to take up an offering. Now this will be our regular tithes and offerings, church. Our regular tithes and offerings. Are we going to do another special? Yes. We'll do another special offering a little later for the group. Love offering for them. So this will be our regular tithes and offerings. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Again, it's great to see you here tonight. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this evening. Let's go to him and ask God's blessing on the service. Brother Don Nettles, would you lead us as we pray?
Thank you.
this morning, I shared with you that we had went back and picked up an old song. We sang it up at Eastwood a few weeks ago in that great choir that they allowed us to be a part of, and we were so thankful for. But there was a song that just really stuck out in our minds. I got back to the choir. I said, we've got to go back and pick that one up. We're going to kind of make it our theme song for the week. So you pray, and I hope you enjoy tonight. We'll get you involved in a few minutes as we sing What a Meeting in the Air.
Lives are whole again.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has.
There's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior, Jesus, like Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Something about the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, we are so privileged, and it's such a joy. And we said a few things about them this morning. And again, thank you guys for using my grandson and for allowing him to use his gift in the ministry. Thank you for all that you do for the cause of Christ. They've been singing together for a long time. We sung years ago in some places together, but it is a joy and it is a privilege to have them back with us. Would you please welcome back again this evening, Second Coming.
I want y'all to know before we get started out, I have enjoyed this morning, enjoyed this afternoon, this evening. One thing I enjoy about this church so far that I just truly love is y'all have seen the old songs. And we don't go into a lot of churches where they sing the old songs. And that's what ministers to us. That's what we're raised on. And songs because I'm old. I used to be the youngest one in the group till Jackson came with us. I know you'll recognize. How many
devotion, and then I won't go to my piano and I'll play and sing praises unto the Lord. And I was just talking to the Lord like I'm talking to you. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on in our world. And I felt within my spirit that the Lord said, Donna, hell still trembles at my name. And that's where this song came from. And if you don't remember anything else tonight, folks, that you remember that hell still trembles at Jesus' name. Thank you.
want you to listen to the words of this old song. And, there's so many things that we have to go through here on this earth that just because we're Christians don't mean that we're not going to have to go through trials and troubles and lose loved ones and that kind of stuff. And he never said it was going to be easy. But when we get to heaven, we won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry about whether or not my back hurts like it does right now. But that's all right. And y'all saw how Miss Myra, she's had a knee replacement. Cindy's had major operations. My wife has a kidney disease. Larry, I told y'all this morning, all the things Larry's been done, like, he's like Evel Knievel, about every bone in his body been broke. And so I told y'all this morning, it's such a thrill to have Jackson with us, somebody that don't take Geritol yet. I used to worry about dying. Even after I knew I was saved, I worry about dying. He won't die. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or because the Lord's been showing me that I don't have to worry about dying. I don't. Because I know where I'm going. Now, if the Lord calls me home before he calls my wife, she's going to be just brokenhearted and just going to be tore up so bad. But God's been good to me, folks. God's been good to me. And when we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. Listen to it. So just a minute and share a little bit of my testimony with you. There was, I told y'all this morning, I shared this morning, that I was saved at an early age. I was 19. To me, that's, right now, that's a long time ago. And I didn't always live my life the way the Lord would have me live. I always wanted to sing country music. I loved country music. I wanted to be the next Merle Haggard. Don was telling me before she played, I didn't turn out like Merle Haggard. But that was what I wanted to do. I always loved playing guitar and singing. But the Lord had a different plan for me. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad that God forgives us of the mistakes and the sins that we commit. The Bible tells us that the road to destruction is broad. The road to heaven is narrow. This song talks about the different roads you can take in your life. And the roads that are wide are very easy to take. It's kind of, listen, it's just like our highway system. How many, except for 75 or 85, you get on some other highway, interstate, and it's usually just easy sailing. But you get on a little two-lane country road somewhere, you know what you have to go through. You have to watch it, you have to pay attention. That's the way our walk is with the Lord. And I'm so glad that I finally realized that that wide road was not doing me any good. And I asked the Lord to please take my life and turn it around. I've gone through so much in my life that I'm ashamed of. But I'm rather to serve a God that will forgive me of those.
Amen.
I want you to listen to the words of this song. It's going to be our last one today. Pray that I can do it, Jesus. So many directions, but the roads look the same. He gave me instructions. I disregarded and changed in sudden destruction. Well, as soon came my way, but I had to say, I
another round of applause for Second Coming. Now stick around for after the invitation, because we're taking up another love offering. And so remember that. But anyway, it's such a blessing to have Brother Sammy Burgess with us. And we're all familiar with you and your precious father. And Brother Sammy don't need much of an introduction, not a stranger around here. He pastors Gateway Church in Cartersville, Georgia. And so, Brother Sammy, you come on. Don't feel rushed, brother. We're here for meeting time. So you come and bring us the word tonight. Amen. Let's give a round of applause for Brother Sammy.
You take your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter number 23. That was great singing. Oh, my goodness. I love those old songs. There's a song you sung talking about old. I'm 60, and we were talking about VCRs this morning, and half my kids, what's a VCR? And I'm still trying to figure out a smartphone. The smartphone, every time that I hit something, my screen has been going back and forth like that. It's probably because, see, I'm an Alabama fan, and when we got beat by Michigan, I threw that thing several times. Of course, in the name of Jesus, you know how I do that, yeah. And so, anyway, then when Saban retired, this is the first time I've preached since then. No, I'm kidding. we'll be all right. But, man, it is such a blessing, and thank you. My mind just goes back. This is what I cut my teeth on, and I believe everything that you said. And Alan, choir, God bless you, man. That was just wonderful music tonight, and I certainly appreciate that. And Brother Justin, thank you for taking a chance on me again this year. But I figured, hey, if you took a chance on Snyder, I'm a piece of cake compared to him. He's supposed to be watching and online. He called me coming over here. And see, last year at quarter and about 20 to 5, I was at the house. Something told me to check on the time about what time the church started. I still thought it was 6 o'clock. And so I could get Brother Justin. He was already in here. I called Snyder. He called me back. So what time's church start? He said, 5 o'clock. He said, you almost there. I said, almost where? I hadn't even left the house yet. And so this year, I told Brother Justin, I walked out the door. I said, make sure that you give me the time and keep reminding me. So when he texted me about 3 or 4 months ago, can you come? I was honored, and I appreciate you letting me come. And then he said, 5 o'clock. I said, good. 2 weeks ago, it was Calvary Jubilee, 5 o'clock. Got it. So at 1 o'clock, Calvary Jubilee, 5 o'clock. 1:15, Calvary Jubilee, 1 o'clock. 1:30, Calvary Jubilee, 1 o'clock. My wife, she's not here. I told her last year, she said, who's preaching? I said, I don't know. And she showed up and I was preaching. So I said, you going with me this year? She said, fool me once, but not twice. She called me, 5 o'clock. You know that. Yes, 2 o'clock, Calvary Jubilee, 5 o'clock. And I appreciate you doing that, but he started on Monday morning at 1 o'clock doing this all week. So anyway, thank you, brother, for doing that. And so Snyder, when I was coming in, he said, now you're going to know what they do before church. You fellowship together. See, when he pastored, I wasn't on time either. I don't know why. When it comes to this church, I love this church so much, I'm always late. I don't understand that, but I'm just glad I'm here, and I'm glad I didn't have to rush. And then when I was coming in, I saw 4 of the finest friends I have in the world, and Barry and Fred and Rick and Austin. And, man, I remember baptizing Barry. Barry's in church. These guys are still serving the Lord. I was reading over something, and they said, if you don't have your sermon down by now, they said, no use reading it. I said, well, when I saw you guys, I had to come up with something about salvation. So now you know why I don't have many friends left. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough for just letting me be here. I've looked forward to it. before the next few moments, I just want to tell you, I'm out of my league. I am. Number one, I look at the guys that you have here, and I look at the preachers, and I'm out of my league. I'm honest. But what the Lord wants me to preach tonight is even more out of my league. At the first of the year, I went through Psalms 23 for about 7 weeks, and I preached. And I asked our people, starting on January 1st, to quote Psalms 23 morning, noon, and night. It will help you no matter what. Those six verses helps you for every day. And then I started a series on the last seven sayings of the cross. And I cannot get out of my mind the second saying on the cross. It's found in Luke chapter number 23. And if I can do this, if I can do it by the help of the Lord tonight for a few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject, one final request. One final request. I want to make a statement, and then we're going to stand. And I'm going to stand behind this, but I'm going to prove it. No one comes into the family of God by accident. It is a divine meeting with Almighty God that He sets up. You do not accidentally get in. It is a meeting that is divinely appointed by God. There's no way that I could ever be saved unless there is the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God that comes to me and tells me and shows me that I am lost. I cannot get to heaven by myself, and I cannot get to Jesus by myself, because here's what people think. I'll get saved anytime I want. No, you won't. It is appointed unto man once to die. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I'm going to preach tonight like a dying man to dying people, and if this is my last sermon, I'm going to give you everything I got. But you don't pick and choose when you're going to be saved. Another thing, too, this message that I'm going to preach tonight about the thief on the cross, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to question your salvation, and I'm not trying to preach you into hell or into heaven. I just want through what happened to him, I want us to confirm that what happened to us, what happened to him, has to happen to us. We've got to trust in the only one that can save our soul, and his name is Jesus. I believe with all my heart this book to be the Word of God. But right now, my heart is just full of what I want to share with you this evening. If you're physically able, will you stand to your feet, if you will? I want to read from verse number 39 to verse number 43. I want you to listen to what he said. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him. Now, both of them at one time, I won't get into all this, but both of them at one time were joining in with everybody else, mocking him, and basically just making fun of him. And they railed upon him, and he said, now listen, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, doth not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Let me tell you what he said. Don't you understand we're guilty and we deserve here? We indeed, verse number 41, indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, or he's done nothing wrong. And he looked to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This is very strange. You just got to hang with me tonight. Jesus said unto him, verily, amen, bank on it. You say, where'd you get all that out of that verily? That's what it means. Verily, I say unto you, unto thee, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want to speak to you on this subject one final request. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, do what we can't. Speak where we can't. Deal where we can't. I pray you'll take every song that the choir sung. I'm glad, dear Lord, that there is coming a day that there's going to be a meeting in the air like we have never, ever seen before. And we think, Lord, that there is coming a day when we'll have all of our family together and have a family reunion. Lord, we're going to have family reunion in heaven of people we've never met. But I'm glad, thank God, we'll see them because of you. But I pray tonight, dear Lord, I don't know why this is so heavy on my heart. But if you'll allow me for a few moments, dear Lord, to say what needs to be said. But I pray you'll be exalted. Just as the singers were singing, I'm glad you never leave us. You're always there with us. Lord, give us what we need this evening. And let us answer that question. Do we know for sure where we're going to spend eternity? And I thank you, dear Lord, you're the answer to all of our questions. And we're going to give you the praise and glory. Change our life before we leave, for it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Through the pens of the Gospels, we now are able to go back to Calvary, not being able to see it, but listening to every word that Jesus spoke. If you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, I think when I first saw it, my breath was taken away. When I saw it the second time, I had to look down. For I was reminded that what he went through that day, you and I won't have to go through that type of death if we know him. All the Gospels tell us, and the reason why the sayings were short is because of the position that he was in. I won't take time to go into all the details about the crucifixion except to say this. His arms were here. He was almost in a fetal position the whole time, and he just raised up. And so he had very, very few things he could say because of his breath. And when he began to speak, he spoke. Next week at my church, we're going to talk about he covered every territory, including family, because he said, behold thy mother, behold thy brother. But here he's dealing with a question that a man had. The Bible said that this thief that was hanging on the cross had a question and Jesus had an answer. The answer was this: I got a word of salvation. I've got a word of hope. Why would this thief even make that statement? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man had in him what we all have in us. You turn when you get home, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 11. The Bible said in the King James that he has set the world in our heart. That word world means eternity. He has set eternity in every one of our hearts, and that's the reason why the closer we get to dying, that's why we began to talk about death. And this man had a question. He said, I am going to die. Where will I spend eternity? And in fact, the greater question is, whom will I spend eternity with? There's only two places a person can go. A person can either go to heaven or a person can go to hell. That's all there is to it. There's no in-betweens and there's no third option. It's either heaven or hell. Through the years, I've had two men to tell me, only two, tell me that they were going to hell. And you know what? They seemed all right with it. But Jesus did not make it that way. You see, Jesus does not want us to settle on the fact that we could go to hell. No. He died on the cross to take our place so that you and I could have eternal life. And the reason why that he died is the fact that he took our sins. Somebody said, well, he saved us from hell. No, he saved us from our sins. I don't have to worry about going to heaven to get victory. I have victory right now in Jesus Christ. You know why people talk about going to heaven? They want to go to heaven. A lot of people think and believe in heaven. A lot of people want to go to heaven. People say, there's a good chance I am going to heaven. But folks, just because you believe there's heaven, just because you think there's a good chance of going to heaven, doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. See, Jesus makes it clear about what he said and what he did. He said, there's only one hope, and that one way is through me. I'm going to say something. It's not a religious experience that you need. I had a lady tell me a long time ago, God and I have an understanding. Let me tell you, the only thing that God understands is what He said in His Word. He will not go away from what He has said. There are some people that will tell me about experience, about what they had, about being dedicated as a child. And they begin to talk about, but there's no repentance. I was at a church several years ago. Gene and I went and heard Bailey Smith preach. I won't call the name of the church. It's here in Marietta. But we watched. They went and extended it. So we went, and right in front of us, there was a lady, two ladies. One said that she came to receive Christ. The other lady came and she had a card. She said, "Why did you come?" She said, "I want to go to heaven." She said, "Let's pray." There was no repentance. There was no asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins. No believing and confessing that Jesus died on the cross for her sin. All it was, "Do you want to go to heaven?" "Yes, Lord, we thank you this young lady wants to go to heaven. And we thank you that she's going there one day in Jesus' name." Without repentance, without knowing and confessing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, you can sign your name to any church, but you'll never go to heaven apart from the death of the Lord Jesus. He not only died, but thank God in a few weeks we will celebrate His resurrection. But I think we need to celebrate it tonight, because that's our key and hope of ever seeing heaven. So I want us to examine tonight our salvation through this man, because I want to tell you something. Salvation is a life-changing experience. It does change your life. It is a miracle. See, now, we all get saved the same way, but our circumstances may be different. How many of you were saved? How many of you were saved at church? Lift up your hand. Whether it be revival. Some of you are saved at church. Some of you are saved at home. Some of you were saved at VBS. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter when. And it doesn't matter who led you to the Lord. What matters is that you were born again into the family of God. I baptized last Sunday my grandson. His mom, a few weeks ago, led him to the Lord at home. My son got saved at church. It didn't matter if he got saved at home or at church. They're both going to heaven. Oh, I'm telling you, man, I didn't know how to really react about baptizing my grandson. But it reminds me that it doesn't matter if you're 9 years old or 90 years old or 50 years old. It's still a miracle. It's still amazing. And when I come to this story, I am absolutely blown away. For the fact that Jesus took time with an old sinner like this thief. But then I realize I'm just as guilty as he is. My sin may not have been what his was, but my sin separates me from God, and I need help. There are three crosses. There was one man who died in his sin. There was one who died to sin. But the man in the middle died for our sin. One man on the cross rejected him. One man on the cross repented. But the man in the middle redeems not just those two, but anybody that comes to Jesus Christ. One man lost his life. One man gained life. And one man was life. And he's still life. So let's talk about it for a few moments. Y'all with me tonight? Say amen. Number one, I want you to think about the provision of the Lord that happened here. Now, before we go any further, I want you to look this way, because it's not found in Scripture except a couple in the Old Testament, but I want you to pay close attention. There was something happening here that we don't see right away, but it happened. You see, Jesus was crucified in the middle of these two thieves. And if you read the story carefully, these guys are talking to each other. which simply means more than likely they committed crimes together. And it may have been that they committed a crime together that got caught. They were on the most wanted list. And in reality, they should have separated Jesus here and put those two there, because they were constantly communicating one with another. But Isaiah 53, verse number 12, the Bible said that Jesus, God's Son, was going to be numbered with the transgressors. In other words, He was going to be right in the middle. This was not a Roman thing. This was a God thing. He put them right in the middle so He could provide something that they needed. Mark even tells us that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Oh, the holy now is dying with the unholy. It was not His sin that He died for. It was our sin. But God was demonstrating through His Son how shameful sin can be. Jesus did not ignore the sinner. He lived right and walked right in the middle of them all. And that's the way He died. But He did not die in His sin. He died for all sinners. I'm telling you, this is the divine providence of God. It had to be that way. And those thieves did not know it at the first, but all God was doing was rounding everything and putting everything in order so they would have an opportunity before they died to trust Him. Are y'all still with me? Think about what one thief said. When you hear one thief, he begins to continue on with the other crowd. He says this: if you be the Son of God, save yourself. Save me also. See, those two thieves never thought that greatness was going to be up there. They really never thought, by the way. The reason why they were there and the reason why Jesus was there is because the people who nailed Him to the cross thought that He was just as evil as they were. The problem was, He may have looked like Him at that time, but He was not like them. Jesus did die, and He died between them on Golgotha, the last place that anybody would have ever thought there would be mercy, was on a place called the skull. You know what? They didn't really know who He was. Remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do. They did not know, really, that He was who He said He was. You know why? Because they were not there the day the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to call His name Jesus because He's going to save His people from their sin. The only thing this man knew was he was going to die the way he lived. He hated people. He didn't mind killing people. He didn't mind doing away. He just began to steal from them. It didn't matter who was in his way. He didn't know. And so when he said, hey, you be the Christ, why don't you save yourself, and while you're at it, bring me down with you. You know what he was saying? I don't want to suffer for what I've done. Will you bring me down when you come down? Somebody said Jesus is like a spare tire. We never really turn to Him until we have a blowout. Y'all getting real quiet. That's what he said. But the other one got a little quiet, but I want you to see what he saw. I want you to pay close attention to this scene. Both of them were in the same predicament. Both of these men experienced judgment for their crime. Both were equally near Jesus. Both could hear Jesus speak and pray. Both needed forgiveness, grace, and mercy. But in the end, they were so different. What made this thief different than the other one? Let me explain. The Bible said in verse number 32 of Luke that he was among the malefactors. In other words, he was with them. So I don't know. Here, if you don't mind, let's just use our imagination for a moment. Here are the two thieves. Jesus is going. I believe that Jesus led the way. While they were behind him, this thief had never seen a man like this before. They were guilty. He was not. They didn't know it at the time. They didn't know he was a Savior. But something happened on the way. There were some ladies crying. And while they were crying, Jesus stopped and he said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself." Man, he never heard anybody speak like that before. He said, "I wonder if somebody's going to speak for me." And see, when they laid him down on the cross, they would sit down on them. Now, folks, you hear me. This is not gory. This is just truth. He had no skin on his back. All of his insides were exposed. When they laid him on his back, it was not a smooth cross. It was a tree. And so Jesus never once flinched. He never once tried to get away. They would sit down on those bodies. They'd pull those arms and they'd put that spike right there. He'd never seen anything like that before. He'd probably seen crucifixions, but nobody's ever done that before. And then, to top it off, Jesus didn't say, "Father, forgive me," because that's what everybody else was saying. He didn't say, "God, help me." He heard these words, "Father, forgive them." He kept hearing them. If you're the Son of God, save yourself. He kept hearing all these things. By the way, Pilate didn't know it, but he had the very first gospel tract. And it was over Jesus. "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Now, I want you to watch this. Isn't God good? Even in bad times. Here's Jesus. Here's the thief. Here's a thief, and if we want to say that he's on the right, okay, that's fine. He has a look to this thief, but while he's looking, he keeps looking up at the top, and he sees these words, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," and it begins to, something happened to him. Church, you hear me. The Spirit of God began to deal with him. Do you know when you look at that worst scene, and I am not even for sure if that is even the best scene on Passion of the Christ. Whatever he looked like somebody who needed help instead of a king. He needed to have a crown of jewels, but he had a crown of thorns. His throne was a cross. His scepter was spikes. And his chin was always down like this. Unless he raised up and said something. He didn't look like a Savior. He did not look like a king. They kept mocking him. "If you say who you say you are, come down." I don't know what happened, but something invaded this thief's heart that said, "That is your answer." The conviction, now hear me, that came to his heart of that thief helped him to change his mind about who Jesus was. Hey, he wasn't there when he walked on water. He was not there when he changed water into wine. He wasn't there when they fed the 5,000. And in fact, he said it before the earth shook at the cross. He even said it before he heard the words, "It is finished." He began to believe him long before the veil was rent. Are you getting this? He believed before the death and resurrection of Jesus. What was it that got to him? What was it that made him understand? I don't know. You say, "But preacher, that doesn't make sense. That's not fair. For one man to die and go to heaven, one man to die and go to hell." Hey, folks, they were both in the same position, hearing the same words, feeling the same breath, and they heard everything that he said. But one man said, "I don't know much about you, but what I do know, I'm banking on you." Are y'all with me? These two thieves that saw the same thing, guilty of the same thing, were still so different. The difference was this. What one man said about Jesus, he really didn't believe. What one man saw about Jesus, he latched on to. One wanted to be delivered from judgment. One just said, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? So that leads me to say this. I want you to listen very carefully. Here is the heart of the message right here. You have two thieves in Jesus. These two thieves remind us that there is only one true dividing line between every one of us, and that dividing line is one person, Jesus. That's what separates those who have salvation and those who don't. And please, don't try to ask for help for somebody that's in the same condition you're in. God provided for these two men. Romans said we are crucifying these men because they're guilty. No, God was hanging a holy son to deal with our sin. When my dad died, Mom and I were there. We had family. We made sure that we were going to be there for him at the very end. You know what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit did before the foundation of the world? They knew that he was going to have to die. They knew that his blood was going to have to be shed. And you know what they said? Are you willing to die around criminals instead of your family? Even though his mother was there and even though John was there, that was it. None of his disciples were there. Jesus could have made them be there. He said, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be around these mockers? It all depends on how you look at Jesus, is whether or not you're going to spend eternity. And it also depends on if you're going to live for him or not. You know, it's interesting to me. Come into church. I know there's two things that people eat every Sunday afternoon. Chicken and roast preacher. A wife and husband go out the door. How many of you believe Jesus is here tonight? Say amen. Be careful what you say. I can see it now. Husband and wife go out to the car. She gets in, puts the belt on. I can't believe how long he preached. I've heard that before. The husband said, boy, God spoke to my heart. Looked at the same Jesus and got two different results. Are y'all with me? I'm glad I'm coming to Jubilee. I may not be invited back next year, so I'm going to have me a good time while I'm here. Are y'all with me? You see, people can walk out the door and complain. You say that Jesus is here, but we can walk out the door and miss it. Whereas on the other hand, the same person in your car can say, you know what? God spoke to my heart. That's what happened on the cross. These two men could watch him, look at him, and even read a gospel tract. One said yes, one said no. That's the way it's going to be tonight. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, are you going to live for him or not? It all depends on how you look at him. You know, I hate to say it, but I think that's pretty good preaching. The provision of the Lord. And by the way, let me just say this. Our world's in a mess, but God's still in control. Every person that's in power is just a pawn in the hand of God. And on that day, that's all the politics I'm going to say. But on that day that he was crucified, they may have had something else in mind. You know what? You know what God said? You're going to put my son here. You're going to put one here. And one here. Close enough. So they'll have an opportunity before they die. What a Savior. Hey, we're here tonight. You pulled up tonight. I got to go to Jubilee. Well, I'm glad you're here. There's a divine appointment for you. If we say that Jesus is here, then that means that we can enjoy him. Well, praise his name. The petition to the Lord. The provision of the Lord means that he arranged everything, but the petition to the Lord, this young man on the cross, young or old, this thief, tells us how a person can be saved. Let's just walk through it quickly. Number one, it was confession. One said, if you be the Christ, come down and save us and save me, save us, save yourself. This other one looked at him and he said, why'd you say that? We're up here. We deserve this. This man has done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing out of place. How the Holy Spirit just gets into a situation. And even though the church had not been birthed yet, the Spirit of God continued to work on the earth. Somehow, here's what he said. I'm dying in my sins. This man is dying for my sins. And the reason why that this thief received Jesus was the fact that he finally realized who he was. We are nothing without him. You know what that word thief means? It doesn't mean a petty theft. It doesn't mean pickpocket. It was armed robberies, cutthroats, thugs. You ever heard the word terrorist? That's what was crucified around Jesus. And at this point, the only way that anyone will ever have hope is if they confess that Jesus is the only hope. Confession is good for the soul. It's good for your soul. But it's good to know that when you confess, you are depending upon someone else. Luke tells us, Jesus said, nay, but except you repent, you'll likewise perish. This man realized he was dying in his sins and Jesus was dying for his sin, that he confessed it. How many of you believe Jesus died for our sins? Say amen. Amen. Second thing, took courage. Did you think about what was going on around the cross? You had the priests mocking him, the crowd opposing him, soldiers laughing at him, other thief rebuking him. Some were blaspheming him. This one thief was believing in him. People formed hatred toward Jesus. He found happiness in Jesus. Some ridiculed him. He received it. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, without receiving Jesus Christ, we have no hope. But something went off inside of this thief in the middle of a public abuse. He said, it does not matter who hears me. You are my hope. How many people are in hell today because they were afraid to walk down the aisle and confess before their family that they're not as good as they said they were? Amen. They're in hell today because they're afraid. Well, I thought I was saved. They think I'm saved. And if I go down and accept Jesus, then what are they going to say? Listen, I would rather people talk about me and go to heaven than to think they're going to talk about me and die and go to hell. We ought not to ever. It doesn't matter if we were packed over and we had 600 people. It does not matter if you know people around here. Do not ever feel embarrassed. Why? Because you got to have the courage to say, I'm going to get to Jesus. He's my only hope. Amen. It took courage, confession, and it took confidence. I want to say again, Jesus looked like he needed help. That cross that he was on, it looked like he was guilty. The beating that he took, he looked just like them. But here's what he said. One four-letter word. Lord. Lord. He didn't say, remember me when he comes in the kingdom. He said, Lord. Say that word with me. Lord. Say it again. Lord. You know what he was saying? I'm dying because I'm guilty. But you're not. You're dying for my sin. And I honestly believe the very second he said, Lord, he could go to heaven right then. You say, well,
That sure is confidence. Yes, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how did he get there? Well, Paul tells us that no man, 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there was a work there that nobody else saw. But this man went from cursing, he went from mocking, he went from making fun to say, whoa, you're Lord. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here's what happened, because we're going to do the last thing and I'm done. I believe that the heart of Jesus, I believe all of heaven began to ring a bell. There's one on the way. Y'all just sit there. If we were there, here's what we would say. Does he have any hope of heaven? You know what we would say? He doesn't have a prayer. I want to tell you something. That's all he had was a prayer. And that's at the end, that's all he did was pray. Amen. You just got to come to the end of yourself and get to the very beginning of him. Then you'll know what it is. One last thing, I'm done. This is good, and we ain't even heard from Jesus yet. But we're about to. And over the next few moments, if you just sit there and just, or you don't grunt, there's something wrong with you. Because not only do we see the provision of the Lord, the petition to the Lord, but the promise from the Lord. He heard these words, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, what did he just give him? Something he didn't deserve. Grace. And when he went to heaven, he withheld from something that he did deserve. He gave him mercy. You see, this man couldn't do nothing. His hands were tied. He couldn't work. His feet were nailed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't give. He couldn't go to church. What does that tell me? You can never go to heaven by coming on March the 3rd, 2024 to Calvary Baptist Church at 20 minutes till 7. You cannot say, check, I've got it. No, you've got to be born again. Now, since you know I'm from Alabama, since you know I pull for Alabama, I am smart sometimes. Not very, but my smartphone says I am. So I got my phone out, and I hit that timer. Not timer, but stopwatch. So I said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I hit stop. That was 4 seconds. 4 seconds. Then I timed what Jesus said. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That was a little right at 5 seconds. So within less than 10 seconds, he went from a criminal to a Christian. Now, some of you got it. You need a dose of this. You're not getting it, or you'll be doing like this, waving a hanky or smiling. Salvation's not hard. Salvation is said, I can't. I believe you died for me. I believe you lived today for me. I can't. I don't want to live this way anymore. I can't. Today, he accepted him. And then he gave him assurance. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. That was the guarantee. One man said the thief had breakfast on earth with the devil. He experienced pain and suffering at lunch. And he had supper in heaven with the Lord all in the same day. Here's what I believe. I'm almost done. I hope I haven't preached too long. Don't tell me that. I'll do it. I won't obey the Lord. Here's what I believe. Even though we have these words, I wonder in the back of his mind, because he was so sinful, I wonder when he said, Father, or Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I really wonder if in his mind he was thinking, Lord, one day, if you think about it, I honestly believe that in that conversation, we don't have it, and I don't believe he said it, but I wonder if he's thinking it. You know, maybe one day you can. And if I can put a little Georgia twist on it, here's what I believe Jesus said. Today? What about today? No, not in the future, but right now. You see, he has nothing to do. This thief has nothing to do with getting himself into heaven. And yet he was allowed to get into heaven because of whom he was with. Heard a preacher, I wish I had thought about this. Can you imagine when that thief got to heaven that afternoon, that evening? Now, if this happens, I know it don't, but just in case, if it happened that day, can you imagine Simon Peter coming? I always had to be Simon Peter. Meet him at the gate. Who are you? Oh, I just died on a cross. What are you doing here? Well, I was dead, and I just came. Well, let me ask you a couple questions. What do you believe about the doctrine of salvation? What do you believe about justification? No. If that question was asked, he would say, why are you here? And I love what that preacher said. He said, the only reason why I'm here is because the man on the middle cross said I could come. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, this man who was the Lord's last companion on earth was his first companion at the gates of heaven. Oh, my soul. Why am I going to heaven? Because the man on the middle cross died for my sins. And he said I could go. He said, with me in paradise. You know what that means? He said exactly the same words, or the same thing in the Greek, but in different words. Remember what he told his disciples? He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you into myself. That's exactly what he told that thief, that thug, that terrorist, that person that should have died. You said he should have, and he should have died upside down. All of us should have done that, because we're all guilty. I'm glad he died for my sins. And if you go to the man in the middle cross, he's not there. And I've been to Israel 3 times. He's not in that tomb. Thank God. If we believe him and believe what he said, you can come and you can go to heaven too. Charlotte Elliott, some of you probably know the story. Charlotte Elliott was an invalid. And she had a problem with God. She kept blaming God for everything that she was going through. Why would God treat me that way? Her mom and dad invited a preacher and a musician over by the name of Dr. Milan, Caesar Milan. And he was over there, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of dinner, she began to vent again about what she thought of God. The mom left, the dad left. All that was there was that preacher and Elizabeth Elliot. He looked at her after a few moments. He said, you sure are tired of yourself, aren't you? She said, what do you mean? He said, you're holding hate, anger, because you have nothing else in this world to cling to. And consequently, you have become sour, bitter, and resentful. She began to break. She said, what's the cure? He said, you need to put your faith that you have in the one who can help you. And they sat there, and she began to deal with her feelings. And finally, she said, what do I need to do? If I want to become a Christian and have peace, what do I need to do? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to come just as you are. She said, just as I am? He said, yes. She said, you mean I come to Jesus just as I am? He said, yes. He said, in fact, you pray this prayer. Oh, God, I come to you just as I am, to be made over by you and to be used by you for the glory and of your kingdom. Charlotte Elliott gave her heart to Jesus, and not long after that, she wrote the invitation song that we sing, Just As I Am, without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. There's two things about this story I want to close with that I want you to understand. This, I hear people all the time, well, I'll just wait to the very end to give my heart to Jesus. Just like that thief. Listen, there's only one story in the Bible and only one. You cannot presume that this will happen to you. And number two, and I don't want to be a smart, I just want to be honest with you. Are you willing to sign your soul away by saying, I will postpone the salvation of my soul just in a few moments before I die? Are you willing to sign that? And I can promise you none of us do. You know why? You don't know what that's going to be at the very end. We cannot wait. And somebody said, boy, I'm glad he got in. Folks, he didn't get saved at the last time. As far as we know, this was the first time he ever met Jesus. We want to postpone it. Why? He did it the first time. Why can't we? I'm a member of this church. I'm a member of another church. If you only knew what I give, if you only knew who I am, let me tell you what, when you stand before God, none of that's going to matter. It's all about Him. And some of you here tonight, you have slacked off in your work for God. You have forgotten what pain and suffering He went through. And you're here tonight. You'll come every night. And I don't know really what was preached this morning, but I do know one thing. God will give you an open door, give you an opportunity right now to do what you need to do. One final request is this. What are you going to do with Jesus? Christian and non-Christian. Saved and lost. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. I thank you for what we have felt here all night. The spirit of second coming that they sung with, the spirit that Calvary Choir always sings with. Not a performance, they sung about you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll decide to follow you, we'll turn to you. Lord, I don't know who it is that needs what. What I'm asking you to do, dear Lord, is deal with their heart according to your plan and your purpose. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, Holy Spirit, make them aware that they need Jesus. If there are people here tonight, and I know many are here tonight, and they know that they're going to heaven, Lord, if they're not living where they need to live, they're not as close to you as they need to be, let tonight be that night. Lord, I can't thank you enough for this pastor, for the privilege we have to preach here. But oh God, what a night for our lives to turn around. You did some things this morning. I wonder if there were some things left undone that needs to be done tonight. Lord, I'll let you handle that. I just pray when you speak, we'll say yes. And we'll trust you. Lord, I love this church with all my heart. I love these people. And I thank you, Lord, you take care of us. Now, Lord, help us to make the right decision. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? I've got one more thing to say and I'm done.